He's just one of those men who people like. Old ladies, babies, men, women, children all told me, over the course of our marriage, what a really great guy he is. I would go on nights out with my female friends as they ripped apart their partners and husbands, picking over their faults like vultures feasting on carrion. I would nod with sympathy, but never really had anything to add. They would often turn their sleepy, drunken gaze to me, pat me on the shoulder and slur, "'Cause you're lucky, Nat. You've got Dan. He's such a lovely guy." And he was. Possibly still is. Dan was my husband, my soulmate. Of course he had his faults. The underpants on the floor and the toilet seat in the perpetual up position were an irritation, but not exactly a major crime against domesticity. He was, is, a good man, a good husband and father. He was my happy ever after. Naturally, we had disagreements and wobbles. I mean, who doesn't? We didn't spend as much time together on our own as we would like, but that's to be expected. We're busy with work, Woody, and life. Obviously, it would be lovely to go on the odd date night or even have sex, but frankly, we were usually too knackered. I'd always thought that the shared bottle of wine on Friday night with a movie was good enough. Clearly, I have been labouring under a major misapprehension. Initially, I went into full-on denial mode when he dropped the bombshell. I wondered later if my body had actually gone into shock in a bid to protect myself from the truth. Certainly at the time, my brain sent me a quick succession of messages to counter his statement. He didn't mean it. He did. He'd been drinking. He hadn't. He was tired. True. And angry. Not true. It wasn't until I'd picked over the remnants of that evening with various friends, my turn to be the vulture now, that I'd fully taken in the order of events. It was a Tuesday evening. I hate Tuesdays. They make me feel restless and impatient. Monday is supposed to be the worst day, but for me, it's always been Tuesday. I can deal with the post-weekend slump, and Monday is usually my most productive day, but by Tuesday, I am longing for the week to move over the hump towards the downhill joy of Thursday. I often long for a glass of wine on Tuesday evenings, but on this particular day, I was disappointingly sober because I was having a so-called healthy week. At least I was before he said it. It was around 8:30 and we had just finished dinner. Woody was reading in his room before lights out and I had been about to go and tuck him in. I normally love this part of the day. The feeling that another episode of motherhood is successfully complete. No one died. Everyone is safe. If I had been paying attention, I would have noticed that Dan was particularly uncommunicative during dinner. Again, it wasn't until later that I recalled the details. His downward gaze and hands fidgeting with the cutlery. His water glass, the pepper mill. I had been telling him about a problem with my latest book. I'm a children's picture book writer and have enjoyed some success with my series of books about Ned Bobbin, the small boy with the big imagination, as my publisher tags it. There have been 6 books so far and my editor wants another 3, but I was struggling with ideas and wondering whether to take him down the superhero route. When I recalled the conversation later, I realised that I had done all the talking, posing and answering my own questions with just the odd, mm-hmm, or nod from Dan. That was the problem with being a writer. You spent too much time at home on your own with no one to talk to. I talk to myself all the time when I'm working. I read back what I've just written, talk to the radio, or hold imaginary conversations with all manner of people, including Ned. I read somewhere that adults have a certain number of words they need to say in a day and that the word quota for a woman is higher than a man's. I believe this. It isn't unusual, therefore, for me to unpack my day to Dan when he gets home. I thought he liked it. Maybe I was wrong about that, too. I had finished my dinner, an unimaginative stir fry containing any vegetable-like items I'd found in the fridge on opening it at 7:30. Woody had eaten earlier. He was 8 years old and always starving when he returned home from school, so I tended to feed him straight away and then either Dan or I cooked our dinner later. I stood up to clear the plates, reaching out for Dan's. He looked up at me, and only then did I notice how